السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. تیری شان کے ہو لائق وہ ثنا کہاں سے لاؤں، تیری شان کے ہو لائق وہ ثنا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ تجھے آئے پیار جس پر، وہ ندا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ وہ ندا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ. نہ ہو لب پہ کوئی شکوا، وہ رضا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ نہ ہو لب پہ کوئی شکوا، وہ رضا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ وہ رضا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ کوئی سن سکے نہ جس کو، کوئی سن سکے نہ جس کو، وہ صدا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ. ملکوت کے عنادل جسے سن کے جھوم اٹھے، ملکوت کے عنادل جسے سن کے جھوم اٹھے، وہ ترانہ کس سے سیکھوں؟ وہ ترانہ کس سے سیکھوں؟ وہ نوا کہاں سے لاؤں؟ اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ، اللہ جل جلالہ. تیرے آستاں سے اٹھوں، تمہیں جاؤں کس کے در پر؟ تیرے آستاں سے اٹھوں، तुम्हें जाओ किसके दर पर, तुम्हें जाओ किसके दर पर, जो हो बेमिसाल तुझसा, जो हो बेमिसाल तुझसा, वो खुदा कहां से लाऊं, जो हो बेमिसाल तुझसा, वो खुदा कहां से लाऊं। अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु। दिले जार की कहानी मैं सुनाऊं किसको यार रब, दिले जार की कहानी मैं सुनाऊं किसको यार रब, वो समा शिकस्तगी का, वो समा शिकस्तगी का, वो सदा कहां से लाऊं। अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु। ये वसीअ सहन गुलशन है, कफस से बढ़ के वासिफ, वसीअ सहन गुलशन है, कफस से बढ़ के वासिफ, ये सवाद को ये जाना, ये सवाद को ये जाना, वो फिजा कहां से लाऊं। अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु। तेरी शान के हो लायक, वो सना कहां से लाऊं, तुझे आए प्यार जिस पर, वो निदा कहां से लाऊं, वो निदा कहां से लाऊं। अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु, अल्लाह जल जलालुहु।
الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فأما من طغى وآثر الحياة الدنيا فإن الجحيم هي المأوى وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى mentions two types of people in Surah An-Nazi'at. فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. This is the first type. This is the first category of people mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other type, the other category, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَنَهَى النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala include all of us amongst those who are in the second category, the people of Jannah. And may Allah save us all from being included in the first category, the people of Jahannam. فَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى. Those people who transgress and violate the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, and give preference to the worldly life over the hereafter. فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Indeed, their abode in the hereafter will be Jahannam. Wa وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And those people who fear standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning. And as a result, وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. They restrain their nafs. They restrain their nafs from following base desires, lowly desires. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Indeed, their abode is Jannah. Now to find out whether we belong to the first category or the second category, we only have to ponder carefully over these two verses. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned the signs of the people of Jannah and the signs of the people of Jahannam in these two verses. What is the sign of the people of Jannah? Man khafa maqama rabbihi. The people of Jannah always fear standing in the court of Allah for reckoning. They always contemplate, one day I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I will be questioned for every action of mine and every word uttered by me. Allah Himself will question me. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, لَيْسَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهُ تَرْجُمَانَ. There will be no translator between Allah and His servant. Allah will speak directly, without anybody in between. The people of Jannah always think about that day, the day of Qiyamah. One day I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me for everything. La tazulu qadama abdin yawm al-qiyamati hatta yus'ala an khams. No servant will be able to move his feet from his place on the day of Qiyamah until he answers five questions. An umurihi fima afana. Allah will ask this question, the first question: where did you spend your entire life? From the time you reached puberty until you breathed your last, where did you spend your time? In doing what? Where? Doing what? With whom? And each and every second will be reckoned for. وَعَنْ شَبَابِهِ فِيمَا أَبْلَى. And thereafter, the phase of youth will be re-scrutinized. The whole life will be reckoned for, and thereafter the youth, the phase of youth, will be re-scrutinized. Allah will go over it again and He will ask questions. Why? Because ash-shababu shu'batun min al-junun. Youth is madness. And in madness, a person becomes negligent of the hereafter. He becomes negligent of the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He becomes negligent of preparation of the hereafter. He violates the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he violates the rights of his creation. Yehi tujhko dhun hai, rahu sabse bala. This is the condition of a youth. Yehi tujhko dhun hai, rahu sabse bala. This is your only obsession. Yehi tujhko dhun hai. This is your only obsession. Rahu sabse bala, that I remain right at the top. I want to be the best. I want to be the best amongst my friends. I want to be the best amongst my colleagues. I want to be the best amongst my cousins. I need to be best in everything. Mobile handset has to be the best. Clothing, jacket, shoes has to be the best. Unique style. Everything has to be unique. It is my desire that everybody looks up to me. I want to be the ringleader. I want to rule everyone and everything. My reign should be in the home as well, over my parents as well. Everybody should be at my feet. Nobody should question me, and I should have the privilege of questioning everybody. We have all gone through this phase. There are some fortunate souls who restrain their nafs even during this turmoil. And regarding such fortunate souls who look after themselves even during this phase of madness, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that as soon as they are resurrected from the grave, they will go straight under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even before reckoning. As soon as they are resurrected, they will go under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before reckoning. Before reckoning. So they will not fear reckoning. If they are given a special treatment, a VIP treatment before the reckoning, why should they fear? VIP lounge under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Immediately upon being resurrected from the grave. Shabun nasha'a fi ibadatillahi azza wa jal. That youth who grew up worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That young man who restrained his nafs, who restrained his desires, who controlled his desires, who controlled his nafs, despite all the turmoil that was going within him, all the attractions and distractions, his attention was towards his Creator only. Yehi tujhko dhun hai, rahu sabse bala. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. This is your only obsession. That you want to be right at the top. Ho zinat nirali. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. My fashion has to be unique. And my adornments has to be unique as well. I should look the best. I should look the most handsome, most attractive. I should have the best car in the area or in the town or at least amongst my friend circle. Yehi tujhko dhun hai, rahu sabse bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. This is your obsession. This is your obsession. Khaja sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, who is the poet and who is writing these couplets, he asks a question after making this statement. That this is your only obsession. You want to be right at the top. Jiya karta hai kya, yuhi marne wala? Jiya karta hai kya, yuhi marne wala? The one who is one day going to die, is this the type of life he lives? That person who is going to remain in this world forever and ever If there was that possibility, and no reckoning in the hereafter, no reckoning in the grave, that person could have lived this life. Life of negligence and life of trying to be the best. But the one who is going to die one day, sooner rather than later, and one who will be laid in the grave, and one who will be questioned in the grave, one who could be punished in the grave, one who will have to lie in the grave for hundreds and thousands of years in that punishment, one who will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, one who will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one who will be questioned for every detail of his youth and of his life, and one who will be made to cross the sirat, should he be living a life of this obsession? This is the question I and you need to ask ourselves. Is this the type of life a person who is going to depart sooner rather than later live? Ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, the great sahabi. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, he was in his early teens. We are 22, 23, 24, 25, 28, 30, 32, 35. And we say, I'm not ready to get married. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready to take the responsibilities. At the age of 35, at the age of 25, at the age of 30, I'm not ready to take responsibility. I'm not ready means I can't take these responsibilities. I have to fend for myself, I have to fend for my wife, then children. I'm not ready yet. I'm not ready yet. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma was only 13 when our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. And at the age of 13, the amount of knowledge that he acquired from Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, unbelievable. Unbelievable. We tend to think that those were the people of the past, old age, backward. So we become matured more quickly. At the age of 30, not ready to get married, matured? How can we claim to be matured? I am matured. At the age of 30, at the age of 25, not ready. I can't take all these responsibilities. And at the age of 13, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away. Before that, he would stay in the company of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam and acquire ilm. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam passed away, Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was very young, 18 year old. All the great names that we find, Jabir radiyallahu anhu, very young. Young people. But they had so much concern for the hereafter that they were not like the teenagers of this day and age. They would surpass people like me as well who are in their 50s. That is how mature they were. That is how intelligent they were. That is how clever they were. Because they understood the difference between this world and the hereafter. And the true difference. And they neglected this world and they prepared for the hereafter. That is why we talk about Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu from the mimbar. That is why his name is more alive today than it was during his era. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says, Kaifa nafarah? Kaifa nafarah? How can we rejoice? We are always looking for opportunities to rejoice. Always opportunities to rejoice. Function. Any excuse, function. We look for excuses for function. Brother, come to the masjid. There will be food after Isha today. Why? We are completing the Quran in Taraweeh. As if we are celebrating our forgiveness. We have done so much in Ramadan that on the 27th night or 29th night when the Quran is completed, we are sure that Allah has forgiven us and we are celebrating. We can see nothing right, left, in front of us, behind us, above us, below us, nothing, but we search for things that will satisfy our nafs. Whether the method is permissible or impermissible. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that this is not the sign of that person who will go in Jannah. The sign of the person who will go in Jannah is وَنَهَا النَّفْسَ عَنِ الْهَوَى. He controls his nafs. He does not let the nafs control him. He controls the nafs. He is always on top of the nafs. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, كَيْفَ نَفْرَى. How can we rejoice in this world when we do not know whether we will go in Jannah or Jahannam? When we do not know how we will fare with the Munkar Nakir in the grave. When we do not know with whom we will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. With the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, the Salihin, the Pious. Or with Abu Jahl, Qarun, Namrud, Fir'aun, evil people. How can we rejoice? Kaifa nafrah? Ibn Abbas says, Kaifa nafrah? وَالْمَوْتُ مِنْ وَرَائِنَا وَالْقُبُورُ أَمَامَنَا. وَالْمَوْتُ مِنْ وَرَائِنَا وَالْقُبُورُ أَمَامَنَا. When we know that we are in between two things, death is behind us and qabr is in front of us, how can we rejoice? What is there to rejoice? What is there? Death is behind us. And it will pounce any time. Death is behind us. Not 5 kilometers away or 15 kilometers away or 100 kilometers away or 1000 kilometers away. Not one day away or 100. We don't know. It could be next second. It could be in the next second. We may not be able to leave this masjid. And I hope when the time comes, Allah grants us a departure in his house. May Allah make it that way. When we are in sujood, when we are in ruku, when we are in qiyam, when we are in haramain sharifain, in Makkah, Mukarramah, Madina Munawwara, when we are reciting the Quran, I hope it happens. Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali Nadawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, passed away only a few years ago, maybe 1.5-2 decades ago. Before the Jummah Salat, he performed ghusl. And it was his habit that after performing ghusl, before going to the masjid, he would recite Suratul Kahf. Frail, ill, old, great personality. Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadawi rahimahullahu ta'ala. So Quran was brought to him. Quran was brought to him. And because he was frail, his khadim opened the Quran where Suratul Kahf was. He took the Quran in his hand. It was on the pillow or some high place. And instead of reciting Suratul Kahf, he began reciting Surah Yasin. Long life practice of reciting Suratul Kahf before going for Jummah Salat. But today he is reciting Surah Yasin. And whilst reciting Surah Yasin, there and then he passed away. Whilst reciting Surah Yasin, he passed away. May Allah, without we being deserving of such good departure, through His mercy, through His grace, grant us also such departures. My Shaykh of Bukhari Sharif, my Shaykh of Sahih al-Bukhari, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. He departed from this world in Madina Munawwara. On the 27th night, being a Friday night. In Madina Munawwara, 27th night of Ramadan, being a Friday night, whilst performing tahajjud and in sajda. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. But what a great man he was. There are hundreds of people still alive today in this world who had had the opportunity of acquainting themselves with the great Shaykh. You will not find a single person, relying on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am saying this. You will not find a single person who will say, I heard Shaykh backbite, or I heard someone else backbite in the presence of Shaykh. Backbiting. Is it easy to refrain from it in this day and age? Death is behind us and Qabra is in front of us. So even Abbas says, how can we rejoice? But we neglect the remembrance of death. We neglect the remembrance of Qabra. We never go to the graveyard with this in mind that one day I also will have to come here. And it will be sooner rather than later. Ya sahibi, la taghtarir bitana'umin. فالعمر ينفد والنعيم يزول إذا حملت على القبور جنازة فاعلم بأنك بعدها مهمول يا صاحبي oh my friend oh my companion the poet is saying oh my companion يا صاحبي oh my companion لا تغترر بتنعمي whatever comfort Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted you do not deceive yourself because of those comforts. Don't deceive yourself because of your youth. Don't deceive yourself because of the vigor of your youth. Don't deceive yourself because of the comfort, because of good clothing, because of the many luxuries that Allah has granted you. Don't deceive yourself. Because these luxuries will not remain forever. This life will not remain forever. فَالْعُمْرُ يَنْفَدْ وَالنَّعِيمُ يَزُولْ This life will come to an end and all these luxuries will also perish. Either you will leave the luxuries or even worse, the luxuries may leave you. And remember, إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً when you carry janaza in the qabrastan, in the graveyard, then don't tell yourself that he is going. Remind yourself that your janaza could be next. إِذَا حَمَلْتَ عَلَى الْقُبُورِ جَنَازَةً فَعَلَمْ بِأَنَّكَ بَعْدَهَا مَحْمُولُ يَا غَافِلَ الْقَلْبِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الْمَنِيَّاتِ عَمَّا قَلِيلٍ سَتُصْوَى بَيْنَ أَمْوَاتِ يَا غَافِلَ الْمَنِيَّاتِ O the one negligent of remembering death. يَا غَافِلَ الْ O the one whose heart is negligent of remembering death. يَا غَافِلَ الْقَلْبِ عَنْ ذِكْرِ الْمَنِيَّاتِ عَمَّا قَلِيلٍ سَتُصْوَى بَيْنَ أَمْوَاتِ Very soon you will find yourself amongst the dead people. You will find yourself in the grave also. لَا تَرْكَنَنَّ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا وَزِينَتِهَا قَدْ حَانَ لِلْمَوْتِ يَا ذَا اللَّبِّ أَنْ يَأْتِي لَا تَرْكَنَنَّ إِلَى الدُّنْيَا Do not incline towards dunya. Do not incline more than necessary. Do not incline towards dunya. And do not incline towards the glitters of dunya. Especially unlawful glitters. Especially unlawful aspects of dunya. Drug, alcohol, women. La tarkananna ila dunya wazinatiha. Why? Qad haana lil maut. Qad haana lil maut ya dhal lab. Oh intelligent one, if you are intelligent, remember that the time has arrived for the death to come. كَيْفَ نَفْرَحْ كَيْفَ نَفْرَحْ وَالْمَوْتُ مِنْ وَرَائِنَا وَالْقُبُورُ أَمَامَنَا How can we rejoice when death is behind us and qabra is in front of us? وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّنَا مَوْقِفُنَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ وُرُودُنَا وَبَيْنَ يَدَيْ رَبِّنَا مَوْقِفُنَا وَعَلَى الصِّرَاطِ مُرُورُنَا How can we rejoice when death is behind us, grave is in front of us, and soon we will be meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be made to stand in His court, and soon we will have to cross the sirat. And that will be the decisive point. If we transgress and give preference to this worldly pleasures over the akhirah, we will fall in Jahannam. We will fall in Jahannam. Nothing will save us. And if we fear the departure from this world, if we fear standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for reckoning, if we fear that one day we will have to cross the sirat and I may fall in Jahannam, and as a result we restrain our nafs. And for how long? Only for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. Thereafter, in the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give complete freedom to the nafs. وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ. In Jannah, for all of you, is what your nafs will desire. Restrain your nafs for 60 years, 50 years, 40 years, and your nafs will be given freedom in the hereafter. And give your nafs whatever it desires in this world, you will never acquire freedom in the hereafter. And who knows whether it is 60 years, 70 years. It may be only 5 minutes. It may be only 5 days. Let us give it a go. And let us make a firm resolution that we will rule the nafs from today. Nafs will not rule us. And let us go to the ulama, the mashayikh, and learn from them how to control this beast, nafs. How we can rectify this evil nafsi ammara and transform it into our supporter, the nafs-e mutmainna, who will save us from the shaitan also. Worry about the hereafter. Death is behind me, qabr is in front of me, thereafter the day of qiyamah, thereafter standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thereafter reckoning, thereafter pul sirat, and only Allah knows whether it is Jannat or Jahannam after that. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi was in his final stages. Imam Shafi, Allahu Akbar. Great Imam. Imam Shafi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He used to say, لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها. لا دار للمرء بعد الموت يسكنها إلا التي كانت قبل الموت يبنيها فإن بناها بخير طاب مسكنه وإن بناها بشر خاب بانيها. This is how pious he was. In these two couplets he says, there is no house for any human in the hereafter. No house, no abode, no home, except for that home which he constructs whilst he is in this world. We will not be able to construct the home of the hereafter. We will have to construct it here, in this very world. La dara lil mar'e. There is no house in the hereafter for any human. La dara lil mar'e ba'da al mawte yaskunuha illa allati, except for that house. Kanat qabla al-mawti yabniha, that he constructs before he departs from this world. And he has two choices. Either he constructs the house of the hereafter with bricks of khair, or he constructs the house of the hereafter with bricks of shar. Fa'in banaha bi khairin taaba maskanuhu. If he constructs the house in the hereafter with khair, with good amal, amal-e-saliha, by restraining his nafs, then his abode will be very pretty, very nice, very comfortable. وَإِن بَنَاهَا بِشَرٍ. And if he constructs the house and the home of the hereafter with bricks of shar, with amal sayya, with evil deeds, by transgressing and violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, خَابَ بَانِيهَا. This person who is constructing his home in the hereafter with bricks of shar will become a loser in the hereafter. This Imam Shafi rahmatullahi alayhi, who spent all his time learning, deducing masail, teaching others, and practicing also. Imam Shafi rahimahullahu ta'ala, despite being a great faqih with so many engagements, so busy in his academic works, in the month of Ramadan he would recite one Quran during the day and one Quran during the night. He would complete 60 Qurans in the month of Ramadan. This Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi, at the time of death, when somebody asked him, how are you feeling? How are you feeling? So he said, Asbahtu minad dunya rahila. Asbahtu minad dunya rahila. Wali kasil maniyati shariba. Wali ikhwani mufariqa. La adri. La adri. Ruhi tasiru ilal jannati fa'uhanniuha au tasiru ilal nari fa'uwazziha. This great Imam. At the time of death, after spending the whole life in learning, practicing and teaching with complete sincerity, he was the man of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And only Allah knows the fate in the hereafter of every individual, because we have no knowledge of the unseen. But you will not find a single Muslim in the world who knows Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi and whom we have doubt regarding his outcome in the hereafter. Despite that, look at his fear. Look at his fear at the time of death. When somebody asked him, how are you feeling? What is your condition today? He said, Asbahtu minad dunya rahila. I am traveling now from this world. I am traveling from this world. I am going to consume the glass of death. That means death is coming towards me. And I will be leaving my friends, separating from my friends. And I am in a dilemma. I am in a dilemma. Shall I console my ruh, which is going to go in the hereafter? Or shall I congratulate my ruh? I don't know what to do. I don't know whether to congratulate my ruh or whether to console my ruh, because I don't know where my ruh will go to, whether in Jannat or Jahannam. If I had known that my ruh is going to go in Jannah, I would have congratulated my ruh. And if I knew it's going to Jahannam, I would have consoled my ruh. La adri. Ruhi. Tasiru iral Jannah. I don't know whether my ruh is going to go in Jannah so that I may congratulate it, or it is going to Jahannam so that I may console it. This is the fear they had. What will happen to me in the hereafter? What will happen to me in the hereafter? What will happen to me in the grave? Death is around the corner. Death is always, remember death, my friends. Remember death. Remember death. If we remember death, as a result of remembering death, we will be able to strain our nafs. We will be able to strain our nafs. When somebody passes away in our families, when a very close friend passes away, then 24 hours the thought of his departure remains in our minds. We have all experienced this. Father has passed away, mother has passed away, a dear friend has passed away, a young cousin suddenly passed away. And for 24 hours, for many days, the thought of departure from this world remains in our minds, that this could happen to me as well. This could happen to me as well. And there was nothing wrong with him. Last night we were sitting together, laughing, joking, and he's passed away. No, I can't believe it. But yes, he has passed away. So this thought remains in our minds sometimes for 3 days, sometimes for 7 days, sometimes for a month. We have all experienced this, that during those moments, we do not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The very people who are unable to restrain their nafs, for a few days we control our nafs. Why? Because we are remembering death. And some fortunate souls, as a result of such shocking incidents, leave sinful life altogether, because it strikes their heart and this thought of death remains in their hearts and minds forever and ever. This should be the condition of every believer, that he should remember death, he should remember death, he should remember death. And this is the advice of our most loving Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam had more love for his ummah than our parents have for us. He was our greatest well-wisher. As a result of this feeling for us, he said, Aksiru dhikra hadimil ladzat. Aksiru dhikra hadimil ladzat. Frequently, excessively, remember the destroyer of pleasures. Destroyer of pleasures. That means if you continually remember death, you will be able to enjoy the lawful pleasures because you will not fear. If I enjoy this lawful pleasure, nothing is going to happen to me in the grave. But it will destroy the unlawful pleasures. Because if you continually remember death, you will not be able to enjoy unlawful pleasures because you will be worried about what will happen to you in the grave. So my friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us on the day of Qiyamah. Allah will question us on the day of Qiyamah regarding two things. First, regarding five things. First, regarding the whole life. Number two, regarding the youth. Where did you spend the phase of your youth? Where did you use the phase of your youth? The more the sacrifice, the more the reward. It is big sacrifice when you are young to wake up for Fajr because your sleep is very deep. When you are old, you always complaining, I can't sleep at night, I can't sleep at night. So if an old man wakes up for tahajjud salat, it's not big sacrifice. Yes, it is a sacrifice. It is sacrifice. There are thousands of people who cannot sleep throughout the night, but who are not given the tawfiq to say Subhanallah a single time. And there are so many old people who make use of their old age. I wasn't able to do anything for my Creator when I was young. I have wasted my whole life. Now that I am old, I cannot sleep at night. I will perform tahajjud salat. I will remember my Creator. On the bed whilst lying, I will remember my Creator and I will pray to Him. So sacrifice is there. That is also sacrifice. But the greater sacrifice is of the youth. Youth who desires to sleep but he still wakes up. Who desires to sleep but he still wakes up. He performs tahajjud, he performs fajr salat. So much attractions and distractions for him. But no, he focuses on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only. So we will be questioned regarding our youth because youth is very, very critical, very delicate. It's very difficult to safeguard ourselves when we are young. But if we strive, if we try, then the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will envelope us. And the most difficult task will become easy. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullahu ta'ala, great tabi. During his time there were 7 great fuqaha in Madina Munawwara. Fuqaha of very high caliber. And they were known as Al-Fuqaha Sab'ah. The 7 fuqaha of Madina Munawwara. Sulaiman ibn Yasar was one of them. And very handsome. So great faqih. Very, very religious. Every alim, every faqih, every muhaddis, every mufassir during that era was always pious. So if we say that great muhaddis, that means he was very pious. Ilm and amal both they had in their lives. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullahu ta'ala. With his friend, he was traveling from Madina Munawwara to Makkah Mukarrama and they halted at a place called Abuwa. They made mashwara. Mashwara, we have halted here. We will remain in this place for a few hours. We will rest. Our animals will rest. Then we will begin the journey again, maybe tomorrow morning, maybe in the evening, whatever the circumstances were. So let us have food. So it was decided that Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullahu ta'ala will stay with the animals and his other friend will go in the village and look for some food. So he left, leaving behind Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullahu ta'ala. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullahu ta'ala attended to the animals, their needs. He started making a tent. There was a Bedouin family that lived on the top of the hill, which was near where they had camped. And in this Bedouin family, there was a very pretty girl, very beautiful girl. And her gaze fell on Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala, who was very attractive, very, very handsome. So his interior was very handsome as well, and his exterior was very handsome. So his physical features were very, very handsome, very pretty, and as a result of his ruhaniyat, spirituality, it became even more handsome. Because of the noor of reciting the Quran, noor of his ibadat, noor of abstaining from sinful activities. Because our hearts are not pure. Our hearts are not pure. Our eyes cannot see what the eyes of those people can see whose hearts are pure. Those people who sin. The Ahlullah, the people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, can see veils of darkness on their faces according to the level of their sinning. And those people who are muttaki, the Ahlullah, the mashayikh, the people of Allah, can see veils of noor on their faces according to the level of their ibadat and their taqwa. Very handsome, very attractive, her gaze fell. It is for this reason the Quran commands us, قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ قُلِّ الْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْدُنَّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. Tell the believing men that they should lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. They should lower their gazes and they should safeguard their private parts. Allah mentions lowering the gaze first and then safeguarding the private parts. Because not lowering the gaze is the key to adultery and fornication. وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Tell the believing women, يَغْدُدْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ. They should lower their gazes. وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُنَّ. And they should safeguard their chastity. They should safeguard their private parts. Zina, adultery, fornication, very grave sin. May Allah safeguard all of us. Very grave sin. Very grave sin. My friends, never sacrifice the pleasures of the hereafter for moments of pleasure. For moments of pleasure. The mashayikh and the ulama and the pious people, they would not walk on the streets looking here and there. What is our culture? Our culture is we walk looking here and there. The sinful people, they look here and there and look for opportunities. Look for opportunities to cast evil glances on ladies. This is the worst category. Then there are others who worry about the hereafter. So they have the intention, the resolution to safeguard their gazes. But while walking, they look here and there. And the intention is, the idea in the mind is that if my gaze falls on somebody, I will move the gaze away and I will look down. And they fail. They fail. Because the heart is sick. They fail because the heart is weak, spiritually weak. Nafsi ammara overpowers them. So the intention is good. They look here and there. They look at the trees. They look at the flowers. They look at the shops. They look at the cars. They look at anything that... The intention is not to cast unlawful gazes. No. But that happens. And when that happens, they try, but they cannot. They cannot. And even if they succeed, nafsi ammara will overpower them and they will return again. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, they will continue to return. Try, return, try, return. And the ulama and the mashayikh, whose nafs is not nafs-e-ammara but nafs-e-mutma'inna, they do not have confidence in themselves. We have confidence that if my gaze falls on somebody, they have no confidence. So what do? They look down and walk. They look down and walk. And they only look up when the necessity demands. They look down and walk. So when you look down and walk, you will always succeed. Because when your gaze falls, to move away is very difficult. But your gaze is not falling. You're looking down all the while. Shaitan, when he was thrown out of Jahannam, of Jannah, he said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbi anzirni ila yawmi yub'asun. Oh Allah, give me respite until the day of Qiyamah. And the intention was, the hidden intention which Allah was aware of, was that it is because of Adam I have been thrown out of Jannah. So give me respite till they are all resurrected. So I will attack each and every son of Adam and the daughter of Adam. And I will also take them with me in Jahannam. So Allah said, Innaka minal mundareen. Allah did not say, you have been given respite, despite knowing his intention. Allah said, no, in my decree, that is what it is. You are going to live till the day of Qiyamah. It was always decreed that your death will come on the day of Qiyamah. So once Shaitan was 100% sure that yes, I am going to live until the day of Qiyamah, and Allah does not go against his word, he said, ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ لَأَقْوَدَنَّ لَهُمْ سِرَاتَكَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my only occupation will be to sit on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. Supervise the Sirat-e-Mustaqim, and anybody who comes on Sirat-e-Mustaqim, I will lure him away from Sirat-e-Mustaqim. فَبِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأَقْوَدَنَّ لَهُمْ I will definitely sit on the Sirat-e-Mustaqim waiting for them. ثُمَّ لَآتِيَنَّهُمْ مِنْ بَيْنِ أَيْدِيهِمْ Then I will definitely come to them from the front. وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِمْ from behind. وَنْ أَيْمَانِهِمْ from the right. وَنْ شَمَائِلِهِمْ from the left. And he did not say from the top and from the bottom. From above and from below. So the safety from casting evil glances, there are only two ways. When we walk, we look at the sky and walk. Because Shaitan will not come from there. If we look here, Shaitan will come. If we look here, Shaitan will come. If we look behind us, Shaitan will come. If we look at the front, Shaitan will come. But he does not mention that I will come from above. So if you look up, he will not come. And if you look down, he will not come. So you have these two choices. Now it's up to you which choice you take. If you take the first choice and you look up and walk, spiritually you will remain fine, but not physically. And if you look down, you will remain fine spiritually and physically. قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُدُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ So this young girl did not safeguard her gazes, and she looked down and her gaze fell on Suleiman. And she was attracted by his beauty. Remember one thing, my friends. There are certain sinful activities which we take as insignificant. No sin is insignificant. No sin is insignificant. There is no such thing as major sin and minor sin. Put this in your mind. There is no such thing as major or minor sin. Every sin is a sin. Major sin is disobedience to Allah. Minor sin is disobedience to Allah. How can we disobey our Creator? This is for academic purposes, that this is major sin, this is minor sin. This is for the ulama, not for those people who practice. That's for the ulama, that's academic. This is major, this is minor. So what is the result of major, what is the result of minor? As far as abstaining from the sins are concerned, it is compulsory to abstain from major and it is compulsory to abstain from minor. No difference. Kullu ma nuhiya anhu fahuwa kabiratun. Ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه says that everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited, whether it is major or minor, is always major. It is kabira. Disobedience to Allah, how can you say it's only minor? It's only minor. And there are a few dozen ulama sitting here. The ulama, when defining major and minor sin, they have stated that this is major, this is major, this is definition of major, this is definition of major. One thing they have said is that when a person feels in his heart and mind that this is a insignificant sin, it's a small sin, minor, that becomes major. So a minor sin, for the whole ummah it is minor, but the one who takes it lightly, for him it is major. So minor sins become major if you take it lightly. For the whole ummah it will be minor, but for this person it will be major. Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi used to say that, have you seen an intelligent person who safeguards himself from a large scorpion and not a small scorpion? Who saves himself from a large snake, but he says, this is only a small one. Both are poisonous. Major sin is poisonous for our spiritual lives, and minor sin is also spiritual for our, is poisonous for our spiritual lives. Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi has stated an incident. Sometimes an insignificant sin will take us to kufr. The effect of the poison of a minor sin can increase and it can take us to kufr. Hakimul Ummah Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi says that there was a muazzin in a masjid. He climbed the minaret to call out azan. And from the minaret, his gaze fell on a beautiful lady next door to the masjid. She was doing something outside in the garden, so his gaze fell. And what is the Shari requirement? Your gaze should not fall on non-mahram ladies. And if it falls accidentally, then turn your face away straight away. If you turn your face away straight away, then this first gaze for a few seconds will not harm you at all. First gaze is permissible. The meaning of first gaze is permissible is that when the gaze falls, you turn it away. There are many who think that first gaze is permissible means you can continue for as long as you want. No, first gaze means the accidental gaze. Not intended gaze, accidental gaze. Somebody called you from behind and you were turning around and your gaze fell on somebody on the right hand side and you... This is no spiritual harm at all. So when his gaze fell on that pretty girl, he should have moved his head away, but he didn't. And from the minaret, he forgot the azan. That is what happens. And he continued looking at that girl. And as a result, he fell in love with that girl. In seconds, he fell in love with that girl. My friends, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows which sin will have what effect in this world and also in the hereafter. We look at this lady, we look at that lady, we look at this lady, we look at that lady from morning till evening and nothing happened. Nothing happened, we continue. Maybe one day we will look at somebody and we will fall in love and our family life will be ruined. This is the effect in this world. And then the hereafter only Allah knows the spiritual effect. He fell in love. He fell in love. He called the azan. He came down, performed salat, whatever, but the thought was engulfed with that girl. He could not resist. So he went next door. And unfortunately for him, it was a non-Muslim home. So he said, I want to get married to your daughter. He was a nice young man. So he said, no problem. No problem. You can get married to my daughter, but you will have to change your religion. Just one gaze. One gaze. This is the effect of sin. One gaze, you will have to change your religion. So he changed his religion. He changed his religion, he left Islam, he left the masjid, everything. Date was fixed for the nikah. He started preparing. So happy. So happy. That I'm going to get married to my Miss World. If you fall in love with somebody, that's your Miss World. This is my Miss World. Our wives should be our Miss World. Because the more we love our wives, the more Allah rewards us. Our wife should be our Miss World. And she deserves everything. Because she has given everything to us. He is preparing. Very happy. Very happy he is preparing. And while preparing, the date was set. While just 2 days, 3 days, 1 day before nikah, he was climbing a ladder in preparation for his wedding and he fell. And he fell on his neck and the neck broke and he died. Khasirat dunya wal akhirah. He lost the hereafter and he lost the world as well. He could not derive any pleasure whatsoever. So my friends, safeguard your gazes. Safeguard your gazes when walking on the street. Safeguard your gazes when in town center. Do not go to those places, public places without necessity. If you do go, safeguard yourself. And if you make a mistake, then accept your guilt. Come to the masjid, make tawbah, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you and refer to your sheikh for guidance. Excessive zikr will give you the stamina to lower your gaze. Unlawful gaze. On the streets, impermissible. In town centers, impermissible. On social media, impermissible. On internet, impermissible. On YouTube, impermissible everywhere. Hard copy, soft copy, everything impermissible. And my friends, when we look at a non-mahram lady with lust, through these eyes, we are taking pictures of these ladies in our hearts. And if we are unable to sort this matter out before we depart, then at the time of death, we will see all these ladies in front of us. Because it is in our heart. So don't take photos anymore. Keep the heart clean. Keep the heart clean. And if we have photos, then through zikr, under the supervision of a sheikh, la ilaha illallah, la, remove all those pictures. Gaze fell. She was attracted by Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala. She began looking for opportunities and she saw that it's only two of them and one of them is going. They were on the outskirts of the village. One of them is going towards the village and according to those times, she understood that he will not come back for the next 1.5 to 2 hours. So she climbed down the hill and she entered the tent where Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala was. Sulaiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala's gaze also fell on her. But she was not muttaki, he was muttaki. He was a wali of Allah. He had purified his soul. Tazkiyah was complete. As soon as the gaze fell, he turned his face away. And he said, what can I do for you? She is standing in this direction. What can I do for you? She said, I have come to you for a need. So Suleiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala started looking for food. She has come for a need. Maybe a poor lady, poor girl from a poor family. So she said, I am not in need of what you are looking for. So he said, what do you want? He said, I want from you what a lady requires from a man. Suleiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala immediately sat down. He put his head on his knees. He sat down with his knees up. He put his head in his knees and he started crying profusely. Very handsome young man, very pretty young lady. Nobody is there to see except Allah. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Except Allah. Through this zikr, under the supervision of a sheikh, we are able to maintain this thought throughout the day that my Allah is watching me. My Allah is watching me. It needs training, my friends. It needs training. We take driving lessons. We spend money as well. Here we need to take lessons in acquiring the remembrance of Allah free of charge. Free of charge. No charge whatsoever. There you have to give. Here you take. Whilst learning, Allah rewards you. Allah rewards you and Allah rewards the Shaykh as well. Both take from the Shaykh, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He sat down with his head on his knees and he started weeping, crying like a child. Like a child. The girl left very quickly. She ran away. Because she feared that if somebody hears this young man crying so loudly, 4, 5, 10 people may gather here and I will be humiliated. So she ran away. She left. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala this way saved his servant. We only have to make that first resolve. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create all the means. That first resolve. And Allah will create all the means. She put the fear in the heart of this young lady and she left. She ran away. And he kept on weeping, 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 weeping. And after half an hour, 1 hour, Allah gave him comfort. And he also feared that my friend will come soon. And they were so particular that our amal should not be exposed. They should be only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he cleaned his face, he wiped his face and his friend arrived. So his friend said, you have been crying. He cried so much that even his friend could tell. He said, you have been crying. What's bothering you? He said, no, I wasn't crying. He says, no. Your face is swollen, your eyes are red, you've been crying. So he said, yes, I was remembering wife and family. I was remembering my children. So I was crying. He said, no. No, I know you. I've traveled with you many times. Something has happened, please tell me. So he narrated the incident. When he narrated the incident, now the friend began weeping and crying. So he said, why are you crying? So he said, I'm crying out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm crying out of shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What shukr? He said, I am grateful to Allah that He sent me in the market and not you. If you had gone, I would have fallen to this prey. Because I do not have the iman and I do not have the inner strength and the stamina that you have. I am being grateful to Allah that He sent me away and He kept you here. Suleiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala and his friend, they reached Makkah Mukarrama. And after reaching Makkah Mukarrama, Suleiman ibn Yasar rahimahullah ta'ala is sitting in the mataf between Hajar-e-Aswad and Maqam-e Ibrahim. And he dozed off for a while. Allah made him doze off because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to show him something great and give him a glad tiding. So he dozed off for a while. And whilst he was dozing off, he saw in his dream Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Very handsome. So he said, "Who are you?" He said, "I am Yusuf." He said, "Yusuf as-Siddiq?" Because in the Quran, Allah says, "Yusuf wa ayyuha as-Siddiq." Yusuf as-Siddiq. He said, "Yes, I am Yusuf as-Siddiq." So Sulaiman ibn Yasar said that your incident with Zulaikha is very astonishing. Your incident with Zulaikha is very astonishing, ajeeb, very astonishing. And what was the incident between Yusuf alayhi salam and Zulaikha? Everybody is aware. وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Zulaikha seduced Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam because he was very handsome. And Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a slave. So he had to do whatever the master or the mistress says. So mistress said, "Come, I have a job for you." And she took Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam into the bedroom and she locked all the doors. There were 7 doors to the room. She was the wife of the Aziz of Misr. So big mansion. So there were 7 doors to the room. She locked all the doors. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكْ. And she said, "Come. Come, I want to fulfill my desire with you." Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, "Ma'ad Allah. I seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innahu Rabbi. He is my Rabb. Ahsana Maswai. Who has given me a very good abode. I was in the well. It is Allah who took me out of the well. And then I was made a slave. And I was put in the market of Misr. And Aziz of Misr, he bought me. And he began liking me. Everybody here began liking me. And everybody has given me a lot. Despite being a slave, I am in a lot of comfort. So it is Allah who has prepared all this for me. Iddahu Rabbi. He is my Rabb. Ahsana Maswai. He has given me a good abode. And despite Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving me so many favors, if I disobey him, I will become a zalim. And the principle is, innahu la yuflihu zalimun. Zalim. They never become successful, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. So Allah has been kind to me. He has given me so many things. If I disobey him by fornicating, I will become a zalim. And if I become a zalim, zalim never succeeds, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. So I can't do this. Here, my friends, I would like the attention of each and every person. How can we safeguard ourselves from lustful sins? That is the most difficult. We get addicted. How can we safeguard ourselves from lustful sins? By doing 2 things. We learn from the seerah of Sayyiduna Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. The first thing we do is that whenever the opportunity arises, we turn to Allah and we say, "Oh Allah, grant me refuge, because only you can save me." That is the first thing he did. Qala ma'ad Allah. He said, "I seek refuge in Allah. Oh Allah, save me. Oh Allah, save me." And we start doing zikr. Subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, la ilaha illallah. Oh Allah, save me. Oh Allah, save me. Oh Allah, save me. That is the first thing we do. Second thing we do is that we remember all the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has granted me so many favors. How can I disobey him? How can I disobey him? How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the very eyes that he has granted me? How can I disobey him with the very tongue that he, through his grace and mercy, has given me? The vigor of youth, how can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the vigor of youth that he has granted me? How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with this wealth that he has granted me? How can I disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with these ears that he has granted me? How? It's not possible. So first thing, oh Allah, save me. Second thing, how can I disobey Allah with the very things that He has granted me? And number three, if despite Allah giving me everything, using His given resources, if I disobey Allah, I will become a zalim. Innahu la yuflihu zalimun. There is no falah for zalim. This is the principle of Allah. There is no falah. And what is falah? Falah is success of this world and success of the hereafter. So there is no success in this world for a zalim, and there is no success in the hereafter for a zalim. That is why when the muazzin calls us for salah, he says, Hayya alal falah. Come towards falah. Falah is a special word. Special word. We cannot translate it into English, so we say success. No, falah means success of this world and success of the hereafter. So if I commit this sin, I will lose the falah of this world and I will lose the falah of the hereafter. So how many things are we to do? Number one, seek Allah's refuge. Whenever the opportunity of sinning arises, we seek Allah's refuge. Number two, how can I disobey Allah with the very resources He has given me? Number three, if I do that, I will become a zalim and I will lose the falah of this world and the falah of the hereafter. Three things we need to do. And then the fourth thing, we try our utmost to remove ourselves from that situation and from that environment. That is exactly what Yusuf alayhi salam did. Walakad hammat bihi. She was determined. And there was no way Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam could have escaped. Yusuf alayhi salam was very young. He was not married. This was his first opportunity of life. And with Zulaikha, she was also very handsome. Very beautiful. But no, he restrained his nafs. He restrained his nafs because he was Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Anbiya have the most control over their nafs. And what did he do? He ran towards the door. وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. She had closed 7 doors in the same room. But you only need one room to leave, one door to leave. So وَسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. One door. Lot of people are under the impression that it was a corridor. One door, second door, third door, fourth door, fifth door, sixth door, and seventh door. No, it was a Hakimul Ummah Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi Rahmatullah Alayhi says that it was a very large room with 7 doors. And I could not comprehend the picture. I could not picture that large room with 7 doors, with 7 entrances. Until I and Maulana Ahmed spent 2-3 days in a place where the room had 3 doors. That is when I understood the 7 doors. There were 3 entrances and exits from the bedroom. وَاسْتَبَقَ الْبَابِ. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam ran towards the door. So he tried his utmost to leave that environment. Environment of disobedience to Allah. He ran up to the door. Afterwards it is up to Allah. And Zulaikha ran after him because she was obsessed. She was intoxicated. She ran after him and she got hold of his shirt. But Yusuf alayhi salam continued to run. And she held the shirt very tight as well, because she was intoxicated. And the shirt torn. So a piece of the shirt came in her hand. And as soon as Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam reached the door opened. The lock opened, the door opened. And the husband of Zulaikha was standing outside the door. Allahu Akbar Kabira. So the fourth lesson we understand from Yusuf alayhi salam's story is that we try our utmost. Jaan chali jaye magar guna nahi hoga. जान चली जाए मगर गुनाह नहीं होगा, जान चली जाए मगर गुनाह नहीं होगा. वी विल लीव द स्टोरी ऑफ यूसुफ अली सलाम हियर, वी डू नॉट वॉन्ट टू गो इन टू फर्दर डिटेल. सो यूसुफ अली सलातु वसलाम, सुलेमान इब्न यसार सो हिम इन द ड्रीम एंड ही सेड यू आर यूसुफ अस सिद्दीक. He said, yes, your story with Zulaikha is very astonishing. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, your story with the woman of Abwa is even more astonishing. This was the glad tidings that Allah had sent Yusuf alayhi salam to give. Because I am a Nabi. And Nabi is safeguarded. كَذَلِكَ لِنَصْرِفَ عَنْهُ السُّوءُ. We as Ummatis, we have to stay away from sin. And as far as the Nabi is concerned, Allah keeps the sin away from him. So I am a Nabi. It was effort, it was hard. And through the tawfiq of Allah, I succeeded. But you are an Ummati. Despite being an Ummati, you succeeded. Your story is even more astonishing. So my friends, if we sin, we lose this world and the hereafter. Many brothers may say that I have been sinning for so long, I haven't lost anything. You've lost everything, but you don't know. You've lost everything, but you don't know. And that is the greatest loss, that despite losing everything, you don't know that you have lost everything. That is the greatest loss. If you had known that you have lost everything, you would have repented. You have gone so deep and so far away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have even lost this realization. Sin always brings loss in this world and the hereafter. In both worlds. Both worlds. And obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always brings profit in this world and the hereafter. Look at this prophet. He saw Yusuf alayhi salam. And Yusuf alayhi salam said that your story was even more astonishing than mine. That means only on the day of Qiyamah will you know how much Allah will reward you. And there is another story narrated by Imam Yafi rahimahullah ta'ala. Allama Munziri rahimahullah ta'ala has written a book of hadith, At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. And there is another book with the same name, At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib. But the author is Allama Yafi rahimahullah ta'ala. Allama Munziri's kitab is on hadith. And Allama Yafi's kitab is on suluk and tasawuf. So Allama Yafi rahimahullah ta'ala writes a story in his book At-Targhib wa At-Tarhib that there was a young man, his father had a shop and he would work with his father. He was very obedient son of his father. He was handsome and all the time fragrance used to emanate from his clothes. So one of his friends said that why do you waste so much money on fragrance? We learn a very big lesson from this. That we friends, should be well wishers for each other. If we see any worldly harm of our friend, we should try to save him. And if we see any ukhravi harm as well, we should try to save him. This was the culture before. Why do you spend so much money? You always in oud and amber, expensive perfumes. So he said, there is a story behind it. No, he said, I have never spent a dime, on fragrance in my life. I am not that type who will waste money on perfumes. You go into somebody's bedroom and there are dozens of bottles of perfume. And sometimes I think to myself that each bottle costs anything between 60 to 80 pounds. How much this person has spent on perfume? So he said, I have not spent a dime on perfume. So he said, how come so much? He said, there is a story behind it, which I do not wish to disclose. So he said, no, you will have to tell me. We are friends. He said, no, I cannot disclose that. Why? Again, same thing. It was for Allah. If I disclose it and if I become the victim of self-conceit or show or pride, I will lose whatever I have acquired. So he said no. So the friend said, look, there are certain stories or certain incidents in our lives which if we narrate to other people could take lesson from it. So why don't you tell me with this intention that I may take lesson from it or I may tell others who will take lesson from it. And alhamdulillah, this story has become so well known that people are taking lessons from it till today. Today we are also going to take lesson from it. So he said, okay, with this intention I will tell you. He said, I work with my father. And one day I was working in the shop with my father. And an old lady came to do some shopping. She did a lot of shopping. So obviously she could not carry on her own. And she did this intentionally. And then she said, can you send your son with me to help me? So my father said, my son, help this old lady. Carry her goods for her. So he said that I carried the goods for the old lady. The old lady is walking in front of me. I'm walking behind her. And we reached a very large mansion. So she said, come inside. Please bring the goods inside. So I went inside. I thought she will take me to the kitchen. So we went inside. We went through the corridor, the foyer and then the corridor. And we went into a very, very beautiful room, well decorated. Very large room. And I started gazing around the room. And there, sitting on a couch, was a very, very beautiful young girl. And she was the owner of the house. And it was she who had planned all this. Because she had fallen in love with this young man. She had seen this young man and she had fallen in love with this young man. The old lady quickly closed the door, locked the door, and she went away. Leaving this young man with that young lady. Yusuf alayhi salam was the Nabi of his time. Sulaiman ibn Yasar was a Tabi'i. Resident of Medina Munawwara, so that was also Khairul Qurun. We are 300-400 years down now. And a normal young man, working class young man. He says that she came towards me with the wrong intention. I realized. So he said, I turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ma'ad Allah, oh Allah, save me. Or Allah put some idea in my head so that I can get out of this. I mean, a young man, unmarried young man, sees a very beautiful young lady in that environment of 5-star, 7-star, 8-star. He must have been burning hot inside as well. That is what the mujahada was. That was his mujahada. The more the mujahada, the more the sacrifice, the more the reward. So he said, I did not resist. And I smiled and I said, can I relieve myself first? Can I use the lavatory first? So she quickly called the servants and she said, clean the bathroom, clean the toilet. In those days, there were no flush systems. So he said, I went into the toilet. I needed to relieve myself. So I relieved myself. And I took that dirt in my hands. And I rubbed all that dirt all over my body. How difficult it must have been. But he had the hereafter in his mind. Allahu Akbar. His own excretion. He rubbed it all over his body. This is the idea that came in his mind that this is the only way. Allah could have opened the doors for him as well. But Allah tests. He tested him. And he put this thought in his mind that this is the only way. He rubbed the excretion all over his body, and he came in that condition. So she said, take this lunatic away. Take this lunatic away, open the door, get him out from here. He said, I had 1 dirham in my pocket, I went to the nearest shop and I bought a soap. And I went to the river bank and I bathed myself. I cleaned myself, I washed my clothes. And I did not mention this to anybody. I went to sleep at night. And I saw an angel in human form. And he said to me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent me to you with a glad tiding. Allah is saying that he is so pleased with you. May Allah give us the tawfiq to strive to make him happy. How nice it will be on the day of Qiyamah when Allah will say to us that my servant, I'm happy with you. If Allah doesn't give us Jannah, no hoor, nothing, but he just says, I am happy with you. That is sufficient for us. Uhillu alaykum ridwani. Allah will say in Jannah that I am promising you that I will remain happy with you forever and ever. Fala askhatu alaykum ba'dahu abada. I will never, never, never become unhappy with you. Allah is happy with you. He saw everything. Allah is pleased with you. He will give you so much when you come here in the hereafter. But he has sent me with this fragrance from Jannah. And he has instructed me to apply this fragrance on your whole body. And he said that he applied the fragrance of Jannah on my body. He said, when I woke up, this fragrance was emanating from my body and from my clothes. So my body always emanates with this fragrance. Whatever clothes I wear, it is this fragrance that you experience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to restrain our nafs. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ وَأَمَّا مَنْ تَغَى. One who transgresses. One who disobeys Allah. وَآثَرَ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا. And he gives preference to the worldly life over the hereafter. Adultery, this worldly life, let me enjoy. Fornication, let me enjoy. Disobeying parents, let me enjoy. Oppressing somebody, let me enjoy. We make fun of somebody. We bully people. Enjoy. Give preference to this world. One who transgresses and gives preference to this worldly life over the hereafter. فَإِنَّ الْجَحِيمَ هِيَ الْمَوَى. Definitely, his abode in the hereafter will be Jahannam. Definitely, Allah says. وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ. And one who fears standing in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That one day I will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day I will die. One day I will be buried. One day I will be in the grave. One day I will be questioned in the grave. One day I will be resurrected. One day I will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day I will have to cross the sirat. How will I fare if I do this? And he thinks about all these things. Wanahan nafs. And as a result, he restrains his nafs from lowly actions. فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَعْوَى. Jannat is his abode. So my friends, let us make a firm resolution that we will elevate our nafs from it being nafsi ammara to nafsi lawwama, and from it being nafsi lawwama to nafsi mutmainna. And for that we will do anything and everything we have to. We will acquire ilm. Without ilm, we will not know what is right, what is wrong. And we will remain under the supervision of expert sheikh, because this nafs, very, very cunning. Nafs is very, very cunning. Sometimes we will not even know how nafs is deceiving us. Nafs will continue to deceive us for years and years without us knowing. Some people do lot of dini work, lot of ibadat, lot of recitation, and the nafs is enjoying the fame. And the underlying motive is the fame. But the nafs remains so silent that a person does not realize for years that I'm doing all this for fame. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allahu Akbar Kabira. Allama Yaqub Karakhi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. Saint. He said that I went through a phase where I felt laziness coming over me and I felt darkness in my heart. So he said, to overcome this laziness and to remove the darkness of the ghaflat from my heart, I decided to start fasting. I fasted 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days. I continued fasting. And when you fast for a long period, everybody gets to know. First day it is hidden, second day it is hidden. First the wife will know, then the parents will know, then the children will know, then the friends will know. He said, during those days, during that period, whilst I was fasting, I went to the majlis of Sheikh Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahimahullah ta'ala. Yaqub Karakhi is not a expert Sheikh. Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahimahullah ta'ala is an expert Sheikh. He said, I went to his majlis. So as soon as I went into his majlis, he said, prepare food for the visitors. Prepare food for the visitors. We believe in the miracles. We believe in the miracles of the Anbiya and we also believe in the miracles of the Awliya. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through His will opens certain things for the Awliya that other people cannot see. It is an honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A wali cannot perform miracle out of his own desire. No, it is Allah who shows. So Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahimahullah ta'ala said, prepare food for the visitors. And I said, when the food came, he said, Sheikh Bahauddin Naqshbandi rahimahullah ta'ala called me near. He said, come here, Zakariya. He said, come here, Zakariya. And then he said that not fasting and eating to your full and enjoying the food is better than that fasting, as a result of which you become proud. Eating to your full and enjoying the food is better than that fasting, as a result of which you become proud. So he said, I pondered over his words and I realized that there is another underlying reason for my fasting. And when I looked deep into my intention, that is what I found. That I was fasting continuously so people would praise me. Then mashallah, he fasts daily. So nafs is very cunning. It is for this reason we always need a sheikh on top of us. So we need to make a firm resolution that inshallah from today we will learn what is right, what is wrong, what is lawful, what is unlawful, what is permissible, what is impermissible. So that we know that here I have to restrain my nafs and here I can let my nafs free. If we don't have the correct ilm, how will we? And thereafter, in order to restrain nafs, we will also seek guidance of a professional sheikh. And whilst doing these two things, ilm and benefiting from Sheikh, we will continually do muraqabai maut. I am dying, I am dead, I am being given, I am being bathed, I am being shrouded, I am being carried. So imagine that you are being carried and you are in that, how would you feel in that coffin, in that janazah? My salatul janazah is being performed, I am laid in the grave. People are throwing soil over my body. Now they are gone, leaving me alone in the darkness of this grave on my own. And now Munkar Nakir are coming. They are asking me questions. Am I being able to answer? Not answer. I may be punished. I am being resurrected. The blown, the sur has been, the trumpet has been blown. I am being resurrected. I am made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am being questioned. Question for each and everything. Where did you spend your life? Where did you spend your youth? From where did you earn money? Where did you spend money? And the ilm that you had acquired, how much did you practice? I am being questioned. Now I have been ordered to cross the sirat. Jahannam is below me. Jannat is in front of me. What will happen to me now? This muraqabah. Go to the qabrastan. Go to the qabrastan and look at the graves all around you. And then glance throughout the graveyard and ask yourself this question, that hundreds of people are lying here, but how many people have come to visit these people besides me? That brother there, that brother there, that brother there. There's only four of us here. Nobody comes here. So when I will be late, nobody will come here as well. So I need to prepare myself. Nobody will help me. So visit the graveyard. And muraqabah maut at least once a week, daily. Once a week, regularly. Zikrullah. Excessive zikr. Staying away from wrong company and always staying in good company. And sometimes social media could be wrong company as well. If you do this, then inshallah, فَإِنَّ الْجَنَّةَ هِيَ الْمَأْوَى. Our abode will be Jannah also. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep uniting us over and over again to learn deen, to worry about the hereafter, and to prepare for the hereafter. And whatever we learn, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice and also to propagate and pass it on to others. May Allah give us the tawfiq to worry about each and every individual of our family, each and every individual from our dear and near ones, each and every individual of our locality, each and every individual living on the surface of this earth. And may Allah unite us over and over again at the Islamic Dawah Academy, in your hometowns and in your countries. And may Allah unite us over and over again, even in Haramain Sharif and for His pleasure. And may Allah ultimately unite us as Siddiqeen, as Awliya, as Muttaqeen on the day of Qiyamah and in Jannah with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما عاتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم اهدنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. Allahumma hadin nasa jami'a. Allahumma hadin nasa jami'a. Allahumma hadin nasa jami'a. Allahumma thabbitna ala siratikal mustaqim. Allahumma thabbitna ala siratikal mustaqim. Allahumma thabbitna ala siratikal mustaqim. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min shururi anfusina. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min shururi anfusina. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Allahumma inna na'udhu bika min shururi anfusina wa min shururi shaytani wa shirkihi. Allahumma rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Allahumma ij'al harakatina wa sakanatina kullaha fi mahabbatika wa taqwak. Allahumma ij'al hubbaka habbal ashiya'i ilayna. Allahumma ij'al hubbaka habba ilayna min anfusina wa min ahlina wa min al-ma'i al-barid. Allahumma irzuqna hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk. Allahumma irzuqna hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk. Allahumma irzuqna hubbaka wa hubba man yuhibbuk. Allahumma la tu'minna makrak wa la tunsina dhikrak wa la tahtik 'anna sitrak wa la taj'alna min al-ghafilin. Allahumma ij'al wasawisa qulubina khashyataka wa dhikrak waj'al himmatana wa hawana fima tuhibbu wa tarda. Allahumma ij'al himmatana wa hawana fima tuhibbu wa tarda. Allahumma ij'al himmatana wa hawana fima tuhibbu wa tarda. Allahumma aghsilna, Allahumma aghsil khatayana bima'i thalji wal barad wa naqqi khatayana kama naqqaita thawb al abyad min al danas. Allahumma ba'id baynana wa bayna khatayana kama ba'adta bayna al mashriki wal maghrib. Allahumma arhamna bitarki al ma'asi abadan ma abqaitana. Allahumma inna nas'aluka fi'l al khayrat wa tarka al munkarat وحب المساكين وأن تغفر لنا وترحمنا. اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا. ومتعنا اللهم بأسماعنا وأبصارنا وقواتنا أبدا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثارنا على من ظلمنا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا واجعل الجنة هي دارنا. اللهم اجعل الجنة هي دارنا. اللهم اجعل الجنة هي دارنا. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء. اللهم اجعل خير أعمالنا خواتيمها وخير أعمالنا وآخرها وخير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. اللهم اجعل خير أيامنا يوم نلقاك فيه. يا ولي الإسلام وأهلي ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. ثبتنا به حتى نلقاك. اللهم من أحييته منا فأحيه على الإسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الإيمان. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان. يا رب كل شيء بقدرتك على كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء اغفر لنا كل شيء حتى لا تسألنا عن شيء. رب اغفر وارحم وتجاوز عما تعلم. اللهم اغفر لنا ما قدمنا وما أخرنا وما أسررنا وما أعلنا وما أنت عالم به منا. أنت المقدم وأنت المؤخر. إليك ربنا فحببنا وفي أنفسنا لك ربنا فذللنا وفي أعين الناس فعذبنا ومن سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا. يا ربنا من سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا من سيء الأخلاق فجنبنا وعلى صالح
الأخلاق فقومنا وعلى صالح الأخلاق فقومنا وعلى صالح الأخلاق فقومنا وعلى الصراط المستقيم فثبتنا وعلى الأعداء أعدائك أعداء الإسلام فانصرنا اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم امكر لنا ولا تمكر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا ولا يخافك فينا اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين ومن المتطهرين ومن عبادك الصالحين ومن العلماء الربانيين ومن أوليائك المقربين الصديقين ومن خدام دينك وعشاقك وعشاق حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولمحبينا ولمحسنينا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بالدعاء ولجميع المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات اللهم اجعلنا من وتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من وتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من وتقاء شهر رمضان إلهنا أنخنا مطايانا ببابك ولا تردنا خائبين اللهم لا تردنا خائبين اللهم لا تردنا خائبين اللهم لا تجعل فينا شقيا ولا محروما اللهم اجعل اجتماعنا هذا اجتماعا مغفورا واجعل تفرقنا بعده تفرقا معصوما اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين forgive our sins يا أرحم الراحمين forgive our shortcomings يا أرحم الراحمين forgive our major sins forgive our minor sins يا أرحم الراحمين forgive the sins of our parents forgive the sins of our wives children brothers sisters relatives forgive the sins of our dear and near ones يا أرحم الراحمين forgive the sins of the whole ummah يا أرحم الراحمين forgive all our sins يا أرحم الراحمين forgive all our sins يا أرحم الراحمين forgive all our sins يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين grant us the tawfiq to repent sincerely يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين we are making a firm resolution that we will not disobey you we will not sin from today يا أرحم الراحمين save us from the snares of shaitan and the cunning of our nafs يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين keep us steadfast on this tawbah keep us steadfast on this tawbah keep us steadfast on this tawbah O Arham Rahimin without your help we will not be able to succeed O Arham Rahimin grant us the tawfiq to tread this path towards you towards Jannah with ease and with afiyat O Arham Rahimin grant us the tawfiq to do good things and safeguard us from evil things O Arham Rahimin instill in our hearts the love for the good amal and instill in our hearts hatred for evil amal O Arham Rahimin grant us the tawfiq to do those things which bring your pleasure and safeguard us from those things which bring your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, adorn our hearts with good traits. Adorn our hearts with good traits. O Arhamur Rahimeen, adorn our hearts with good traits. O Arhamur Rahimeen, clean our hearts from evil traits. Clean our hearts from debasing qualities. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your dhikr. Enlighten our hearts with your dhikr. Enlighten our hearts with your dhikr. O Arhamur Rahimeen, remove ghafla from our hearts. Remove ghafla from our hearts. Remove ghafla from our hearts. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten our hearts with your love. Enlighten our hearts and adorn our hearts with the love for your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, Grant us the tawfiq to emulate your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in everything. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as we live, keep us steadfast on Islam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, the day we depart from this world, make us depart on Iman. Make us depart with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, emanating from our tongues. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us husna khatima. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us a beautiful departure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us a departure in sujood, in ruku, in qiyam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us departure in Makkah Mukarrama, in Medina Munawwara. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us departure from this world whilst you are most happy with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us departure from this world whilst we are carrying out that deed which is most beloved to you. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the punishment of the grave. Save us from the punishment of the grave. Save us from the punishment of the grave. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make the questioning in the grave easy for us. Make the questioning easy for us. Make the questioning easy for us. Make the resurrection easy for us. Grant the shaheed under your throne on the day of Qiyamah. Ilahal Alameen, make the reckoning easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannah without any reckoning. Grant us entry into Jannah without any reckoning. Grant us entry into Jannah without any reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make pul sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us refuge from the fire of Jahannam. Grant us refuge from your punishment. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us refuge from your anger. Grant us refuge from your wrath. Grant us refuge from your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. Ilahal Alameen, grant us entry into Jannatul Firdaus and grant us the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from all illnesses. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from physical illnesses, from spiritual illnesses. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us shifa from illnesses. O Arhamur Rahimeen, remove all our difficulties. Remove all our difficulties. O Arhamur Rahimeen, remove all our difficulties. O Arhamur Rahimeen, fulfill the needs of this world and fulfill our needs of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us khair in this world. Grant us khair at the time of death. Grant us khair in the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the shar of this world. Save us from the shar at the time of death. Save us from the shar of the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from every fitna. Save us from every fitna. Save us from every fitna. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, safeguard us. Safeguard our iman, safeguard our deen, safeguard our children, our progenies, safeguard our societies, ilahal alamin, safeguard our countries from all four sides. O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept our ibadat, whatever we have been able to do throughout life, whatever little we have been able to do during the month of Ramadan, O Arhamur Rahimeen, granted acceptance, O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the shortcomings and granted acceptance, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to value the remaining days of the month of Ramadan, grant us the tawfiq to value the remaining precious moments of our life. Grant us the tawfiq to stay away from wrong company, wrong environment. Grant us the tawfiq to always remain in good company and in good environment. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, attach us with the Quran, attach us with Zikrullah, attach us to the ilm of Nubuwa, Ilahal Alameen, attach us with the ulama, with the mashayikh, Ilahal Alameen, attach us to those activities, Ilahal Alameen, which keep us on deen, which bring us nearer to deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to propagate your deen. Grant us the tawfiq to call people towards your deen. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us safe and sound knowledge. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from unauthentic and unreliable knowledge. Save us from unauthentic, unreliable people. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us Jannatul Firdaus. Save us from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, whatever good your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us. Ilahal Alameen, every evil from which your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was seek refuge. refuge, grant us a refuge from them, O Arhamur Rahimeen. Whatever good and whatever spiritual blessings you have granted to the awliya during all the Ramadans that have passed and during this Ramadan, and that you will grant in the coming days and in the future Ramadan, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all those spiritual benefits. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enlighten us with the anwar of Ramadan. Ilaha al-Alamin, bless us with the blessings of Ramadan. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, give us the tawfiq to value each and every second of our lives. O Arhamur Rahimeen, whatever we have asked from you, grant it to us. And whatever we were unable to ask due to our shortcoming, due to our lack of knowledge, due to our lack of ability, and you know that there is khair in it, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us those things also. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all the brothers, sisters who have requested us, who request us to make dua for them, who expect us to make dua for them, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them all the goodnesses of this world and the hereafter, and save them from every evil of this world and the hereafter. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. La ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, nas'aluka aljannah wa na'udhu bika minan nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin bi rahmatika ya rabbi.